The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, ahead of the official release of her new book, Tomorrow, Tell the Truth, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined now by author Karen Fitzgibbon to discuss the third instalment in the Private Investigator Lana Bowen series. You're very welcome.
Thank you,
this is very exciting. Yes. And this is the third one, as I say, in the series. But it all happened very quickly, it looks like, from our perspective, because the three books have come one after the other.
One after the other, yeah, in quick succession. Yeah, well, it did and it didn't. I first started writing The World's End in January 2021. And I had it finished by April, a first draft. And then by the summer, I started submitting. And I thought I'd be signed really quickly, naively. So I had already planned to write number two that September. So, and I finished that one in December. So it was a whole year then before I started the Tell the Truth, which is the one that's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, so they were all lined up.
They were all lined up before I ever
put a long time in the
bag. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background and who you are.
Yeah. So I was reared in Limerick, a lovely little village called Castle Connell. And I teach drama to community groups across the city from South Hill, Kerry's Road, Moyross, Ballinanty. And we put on theatre shows and we make short films together. I've been doing it for about 20 years now. So
do you go into schools or how does it work?
They're all adult groups.
Adult groups.
I teach adults, yeah. I wouldn't be great with kids now. So, but adults, and I'm not saying that they're easier, they're not. But yeah, but it's wonderful because a lot of people in my groups might never have had the opportunity to act and write and produce shows.
So it's their first time for many of them.
Absolutely. And their age groups, the youngest is 27, the oldest is 85. I have two 85-year-olds on stage this year.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And for many of them, it's their first introduction to performing.
Yeah, in recent years, yeah. I mean, they might have retired and then suddenly realised, I'd like to try a bit of acting or a bit of writing. And that's what they've been doing. And the opportunity is there because I work for a literacy agency, say the LCETB, which is Limerick and Clare Education Training Board. So they give the opportunities through drama, through lots of different workshops to let people try it out and see if they like it, right. You know.
So while you're doing this work then,
yes,
these stories are bubbling away.
All the time.
In your head.
Yeah, all the time. Like I've often said people should be very careful what they say around me because I'm always listening for plots or storylines or even dialogue conversations, watching people and creating characters in my head. So, yeah, the stories are always there, you know.
Did you ever get to a point, though, in your adult life where you say, well, if it hasn't happened this stage, it's not going to happen and maybe I should give up on the being published dream?
Yeah, no. No, because I think the only thing you think as you get older is that, gosh, time is running out. I need to accelerate here. Do you know what I mean? I think there's always an opportunity if you keep trying, if you don't ever give up on the opportunity, you know, if you just keep writing. If you can't get published if you stop writing. That's always been my...
But I think with any ambition, holding on to it and believing you can achieve it is the key to it.
Absolutely, yeah. And we spend so much time dreaming about it. That we could spend that time actually doing or trying to make it happen for ourselves, you know. So
tell me about your character, your the heroine in this book, the character that's running through
Lana
all three.
Bowen. Yeah. So Lana Bowen is a private investigator and she, in a previous life, would have worked for the Department of Public Prosecution and she made a big mistake. And she left that job and started working as a private investigator. And I suppose slowly, over time, she started getting these panic attacks and they're all related to this mistake that she made. They happen to her when she's in an isolated area or when she's like, say, an underground car park, for example, or she's knocking on a door of a potential witness. And then she realizes, oh, I could be putting myself in danger here. So they kind of align very much with her character. But she's gritty and she's determined and she's clever, but she's fiercely human as well. Mm-hmm. And she's, I suppose, like now that I've been, because initially she wasn't in the plot at all in The World's End. She was never on the radar, but I needed someone to solve the crime. And so now she's with me all the time. And I think when I first finished The World's End, I thought, no, I'm not done with her. I need to bring her back.
She has more to do.
Yeah. And her journey, like there are standalone novels, but her journey does continue. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
And the panic attacks, which you mentioned there,
yes.
I mean, that's something that you have experienced yourself and you've been quite open about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk me through when that first started for you.
Yeah. Well, I think it was in November 2019 and my mum had just taken a stroke, quite a bad bleed in the brain. But I was also really busy with work, and you're at that stage where your kids are sort of in school and college and you're trying to balance the scales. Like it's, you know, that time. And
pulled in 15 different directions.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But then again, life was probably always like that. But anyway, this particular day I drove out to visit her and I took my normal motorway route and I went to overtake an articulated truck, and I was halfway up along the side when I looked in the rearview mirror and I could see a car behind me, and it was gaining speed behind, you know, coming right up behind me. And I just lost the power in my body. I could not accelerate the car. And that's when my heart was pounding and my hands just like completely sweaty. I couldn't grip the wheel. And
terrifying.
It was terrifying because a panic attack is not nice. They're horrible.
Mm. And what did you think was happening?
I didn't know. I might have low blood pressure sometimes. So I thought, oh God, this is what it is. Or I'm extremely tired. So I thought that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what was happening, but so, I couldn't accelerate. I just couldn't move.
And what did you do then? Did you have to pull over?
So what happened was, it's kind of a bit of a blur, but I think the car behind me realized that I wasn't moving. So they sort of decelerated. And then I found myself indicating to go behind the truck.
Okay.
And then when there was a suitable gap, I pulled it onto the hard shoulder and I just, thought, what was that? What's after happening? You know?
But so, then if that was a one-off, that would be okay. But it happened to you again.
It happened again. I went and visited with my mother, and I, on the way back, I said, okay, that was, I don't know what that was, but I'm going to go back my normal route. And then there was a slip road and cars were trying to merge into my lane, and it happened again. So I had to pull in again. So yeah. And it came out of the blue. It never, ever happened.
And since then, since 2019, has it become a feature of your life?
I just don't drive the motorway anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
You stay away completely from motorways?
Completely. I had to drive to Ennis for a book club festival recently, and I took all the little towns and villages. So there's this great feature on Google Maps. You can avoid motorway routes.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of use now all the time. So you're doubling your journey and a bit, actually, because you're kind of on rural roads.
And how do you feel about that?
Now I'm good. Like initially I was very cross, I suppose, because I thought, why has this happened to you? Because, you know, I've driven all over Europe and the motorway doesn't bother me, you know, it never did. So initially I was, and I was kept Googling it and saying, why has this happened? And I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever know, but
And have you sought treatment for it? Have you asked questions about it from, you know, a professional?
No, not yet. And it's definitely something I want to do. I think, because I don't see myself never doing it again. You know, like I've just mentioned, a lot of people in my groups are like well into their 70s and 80s and they all drive the motorway still.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something I have to
fix. But it is quite common. In fact, we discussed it recently on the programme. It is quite a common place where people do get a sense of panic or actual panic attacks, as you have described.
Yeah.
And does it affect you in any other part of your life?
No.
It's just the motorway.
Yeah.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah.
And was it important for you then to include it in Lana's life as your main character?
Yeah. I mean, I love a character who's struggling. I think we all do. If they're perfect, they're not that interesting. And I thought if I could bring it into her story, it's going to be authentic because I know exactly what it feels like. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that moment when your heart is absolutely pounding and your limbs just stop functioning. You know, like panic attacks are terrifying for people. And I never knew that they were a thing before until that happened to me. But when you're operating a vehicle at 100 kilometres an hour and you're trapped in traffic, it's really, really scary. So I suppose I was able to bring that to her and make her, you know, she still does what she has to do.
She has a life and she does all of the things she needs to do, but this is part of it.
Being is justice. She wants justice for the people she represents. So she will stop at nothing, even putting her life in danger or knowing that it's going to cause her to have, like in this book, she has one very, very big attack And it really exhausts her, but she keeps going.
Did you find that difficult to write?
No. Do you know what? It's the opposite, actually. It's brilliant. I'm a firm believer that writing how you feel, it gets it out of your system. And it quietens my mind. Writing quietens my mind, like the chaos that when you've got all these thoughts and ideas, you know, tumbling around in your head. Writing about them is just lovely.
Well, do you know what I felt about your series is it's ripe for the telly.
Did you?
Has it entered your mind? Has anyone approached you?
No one has approached me. But yeah, you know what? Yeah, that would be the dream, wouldn't it? It's always the dream for every writer to think they could see their character on the screen. Mm-hmm. You know?
Can you see your character? I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
All of them.
All of them, yeah. I love the writer Tennessee Williams, and Tennessee Williams' plays really transferred beautifully to screen because they're so visual. So, and his dialogue is really strong. So I think if I write like that, then the readers can see what I'm trying to write about, mm-hmm. you know, and that way.
And tell me this, do you say to your readers that you need to have read the first two books to enjoy this one, or can you dive straight in?
You can dive straight in. You can. But it would be nice. It would be really nice if they read the first two. Yeah. But yeah, Tell the Truth is like all the stories, they resolve at the end. They do. Mm-hmm. The first three books, they do. But Lana Bowen's character does continue. Her journey continues. But
so yeah. To get the most out of it, you start with the first one.
And there's not too many to go back to. There's only three.
This one is out tomorrow, Karen.
Yes.
And we wish you the very best with it. It's called Tell the Truth by Karen Fitzgibbon. And I hope we're going to see it on a screen before too long. I think it really is ripe for it. And if you're looking for the other books, they're called The World's End and Never Look Back. Congratulations, Karen.
Thank you so much for
being with us.
Thank you.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.